Week two continues in the trial of President Trump's former campaign manager Paul Manafort, who's facing federal charges on bank fraud and tax fraud. And former Trump campaign liaison and Manafort associate Rick Gates has been on the stand. Earlier this year, Gates struck a plea deal with Robert Mueller in exchange for his testimony against Manafort. Ilya Marantz is a WNYC reporter and co-host of the Trumping podcast. He was down in Alexandria, Virginia this week in the courtroom for Gates' testimony, and he joins me now in studio. Hey, Ilya.
Hi, Tanzina.
Well, let's get right to it because this is like a soap opera. What is the main takeaway here today?
Yeah, I mean, this was such an important day for both prosecution and defense. This is the key witness. They both have a huge amount riding on this testimony. For prosecutors, it's their chance to explain just what Paul Manafort was doing, setting up these offshore companies and offshore bank accounts and pulling money that he was paid in Ukraine into those accounts and then eventually into the United States in some cases. And Rick Gates is uniquely positioned to do that explaining because he was at Paul Manafort's side. He was his right-hand man for 8 or 9 years, almost the whole time that Manafort was active in Ukraine. What's more, his particular area of responsibility, as he testified, was those bank accounts. So Gates said he paid Manafort's bills from secret offshore accounts and kept those payments secret from his bookkeeper at Paul Manafort's direction. He also testified that when Manafort's Ukrainian client, President Viktor Yanukovych, was driven from power, Paul Manafort's financial situation quickly deteriorated to the point where he was desperately going around to borrow money and in some cases falsifying statements about his income so he could get loans from banks. Again, all with Paul Manafort's knowledge and approval. That's what prosecutors were saying yesterday. On the defense side, this is their chance to dent Rick Gates' credibility so that the jury doesn't know whether to trust anything that he says. And secondarily, they can also try to create their own alternative storyline about what was really going on. What defense lawyers have said is that Paul Manafort trusted the wrong man. Yeah, he might have checked some wrong boxes on his tax returns, but he trusted the wrong guy.
Even though he was doing things that were wrong to begin with.
Paul Manafort was primarily a political consultant and a businessman, and the person who he hired to look after those bank accounts was making these bad, illegal decisions. It was Gates who had authority over those accounts, and defense did manage to land some body blows on Gates. They got Gates to concede that he stole hundreds of thousands of dollars from Paul Manafort. If Paul Manafort knew it, he didn't do anything about it. So that indicates that Gates was more active with the accounts at some times, at least, than Paul Manafort was. They also got him to concede an extramarital affair. And
an apartment associated with that, right? I think in London or
exactly.
Something.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they raised the question of insider trading, which Gates denied. So although he kept a calm demeanor throughout, they did raise some pretty serious questions about his behavior.
And one of the other things that Gates testified was that Manafort was paid $4 million a year to help, you mentioned, Viktor Yanukovych. Now, why was that information important?
Well, obviously it's big money, but it also indicates that Paul Manafort wasn't just in Ukraine to write speeches and run elections. He was there doing political consulting once Viktor Yanukovych came to power in 2010. He was doing foreign lobbying to the U.S. and to European countries and the IMF. He dabbled in private equity, so really just trying to make business doing business. The dollar amount legally doesn't matter as much as the fact that Manafort and Gates allegedly had these overseas bank accounts and overseas income and did not declare them, but it helps us understand what happened next when Manafort was in financial straits and allegedly lied to these banks to get bank loans.
So you mentioned Gates' credibility, and both the prosecution and the defense are relying on that credibility. Did you get any sense of how the jury has been impacting? You were in the courtroom.
It's really hard to tell. I mean, they're listening very attentively. I didn't notice anybody nodding off or anything like that. There were sections where you could nod off because they are being run through an enormous number of exhibits, contracts between shell companies, names of oligarchs that they, or businessmen for the purposes of this trial, Judge Ellis doesn't like the term oligarchs, names of rich Ukrainian businessmen that may be unfamiliar. So the question is partly, is this all adding up for the jury? Are they able to discern a story from the many, many records that they have to review.
And you mentioned the judge, about a little bit of a colorful figure, no?
Yes, absolutely. Judge Ellis wants to keep the trial moving. He, in general, has had a lot of clashes with the prosecution team. At one point, I watched him instruct Greg Andres, one of the special counsel's team, on how he should ask his question. On the other side, with the defense team, he sort of seemed to help them at times question Rick Gates and make Rick Gates squirm. I think his final, almost the final thing he said as they were wrapping up on Tuesday was, well, you know, why should anybody believe you, Rick Gates? You admitted that you stole from your employer, Paul Manafort. So I don't know how that's going to play with the jury.
Tell us a little bit about Manafort in the courtroom when you watched him. What was his reaction, if any, to what Rick Gates' testimony?
The first thing I wrote in my notebook when I got there was, does not look gaunt. You sort of expect somebody who's been in prison to look like they've had a rough time. But he's in, you know, a charcoal suit. His hair is getting very bushy and gray. It used to be sort of like a rich brown. But he would you know, hold his fingertips together and just sort of watch the proceedings very calmly, sometimes put on reading glasses, review documents. He didn't betray any emotion.
Now, we did learn a new name during Gates' testimony, Viktor Pinchuk. Who's that?
Viktor Pinchuk is a steel magnate in Ukraine. He has been a top businessman there for over a decade. He's the son-in-law of the former president, Leonid Kuchma. And he's actually a very interesting figure to Robert Mueller, because in the fall of 2015, Viktor Pinchuk's foundation paid Donald Trump's foundation $150,000 for a speech that Donald Trump gave to a conference in Ukraine. That was while Trump was a declared candidate for president. I think he was considered very much of a long shot at the time, but that is when that happened. And that is reportedly a donation of interest to Robert Mueller.
And what happens next?
What happens next? Well, Gates is testifying again today. The prosecution team has about 15 more witnesses on their list. They say they won't call them all, and they hope to end their questioning this week. Excuse me. Judge Ellis really wants this to move fast, as I mentioned. We don't know how quickly a jury could return a verdict, of course. Whatever the verdict, Manafort will be due back in court in mid-September on the bulk of the charges. Remember, this is a split trial where the tax and bank fraud is the first part. Then there's conspiracy against the United States and failure to register as a foreign agent.
Ilya Marritz is a WNYC reporter and co-host of the Trumping podcast. Thanks, Ilya.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to The Takeaway. We say it a lot, but we really mean it. Our listeners are the most important part of our show. We want to hear from you. Jump into the discussion on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at The Takeaway. And keep listening. Thanks again.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.